The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, Robert Stevens, John LeMessurier, and William Nye. Episode 13, adapted by Brian Sibley, The Grey Havens.
The Ents have certainly changed this place.
Good old Treebeard. Here he comes.
Welcome to the Treegarth of Orthanc. But why do you come here?
To see how your work goes, my friend, and to thank you for your aid in all that has been achieved.
Well, that is fair enough, for to be sure, Ents have played their part.
Tell me, what of the task that I set you? How is Saruman? Is he not yet weary of his imprisonment in the Tower of Orthanc? For I don't suppose that he will think you have improved the view from his windows.
I thought you would come to that, Gandalf. Weary of Orthanc. Very weary at last, but not so weary of his tower as he was of my voice.
Was? What about is? Is he dead?
No, not dead, as far as I know, but he is gone.
Gone?
Yes, he is gone 7 days. I let him go.
Huh?
There was little left of him when he crawled out, and as for that worm creature of his, he was like a pale shadow.
But Treebeard!
Now, do not tell me, Gandalf, that I promised to keep him safe, for I know it. But things have changed since then, and I kept him until he was safe, safe from doing any more harm.
It is as I feared.
Gandalf, you should know that above all, I hate the caging of live things, and I will not keep even such creatures as these caged beyond great need. A snake without fangs may crawl where he will.
You may be right, but this snake had still one tooth left, I think. He had the poison of his voice, and I guess that he persuaded you, even you, Treebeard, knowing the soft spot in your heart. Well, he's gone. There's no more to be said. But the Tower of Orthanc now goes back to the king, to whom it belongs. Though maybe he will not need it.
That will be seen later. But I will give all this valley to the Ents to do with as they will, so long as they keep watch upon Orthanc, and see that none enter it without my leave.
It is locked. I made Saruman lock it and give me the keys.
Now I thank you once more, and I bid you farewell. May your forest grow again in peace. When this valley is filled, there is room to spare west of the mountains, where once you walked long ago.
We thank you. But I am forgetting my manners. Will you stay here and rest a while?
No, Treebeard, for we have a long journey yet before us.
Maybe there are some that would be pleased to pass through Fangorn Forest and so shorten their road home.
The Lord Aragorn returns to Minas Tirith, and most of the rest of our company go with me to Rivendell. But our friend here, Legolas the Elf, may be pleased to accept this invitation.
That is so, Master Elrond. Come, Gimli. By Fangorn's leave, we will visit the deep places of the Entwood and see such trees as are nowhere else to be found in Middle-earth, and thus journey to our own lands in Mirkwood and beyond.
I will come with you for the sake of our friendship, which I hold dear.
Here, then, at last, comes the ending of the Fellowship of the Ring. Yet I hope ere long you will return to my land with the help you promised.
We will come, if our lords allow it. Legolas, to tend your gardens, and I, to instruct your stonemasons.
When we come, my lord, your fair land shall be blessed for a while. For a while. A month, a life, 100 years of men.
I will look for that day and that blessing, my friend.
Well, farewell, my hobbits. You should come safe to your own homes now, and I shall not be kept awake for fear of your peril.
Farewell, Gimli.
Farewell, Legolas. Farewell. We will send word when we may, and some of us may yet meet at times. But I fear that we shall not all be gathered together again.
Safe journey, Master Dwarf and Master Elf. Farewell.
I too must bid you now farewell. I do not think that we shall meet again, for the world is changing. I feel it in the water, I feel it in the earth, and I smell it in the air.
Maybe not in Middle-earth, Fangorn, but when the lands that lie under the wave are lifted up again, then in the willow meads of Tassaranan, we may meet in the spring.
The sight and the smell of the spring in Nandasarion. Farewell, masters. And farewell, my merry little folk.
Goodbye, Treebeard.
You are a hasty people, you hobbit children. The laughing folk, the little people.
Half-grown hobbits, the hole dwellers.
Yet you have already grown since I saw you last.
It's those Entdross you gave us to drink, Treebeard.
You remember, you said you'd give us a drink that would keep us green and growing for a long, long while.
So I did, by root and twig, so I did. Well, now, Merry and Pippin, we must part.
Goodbye, Treebeard.
Goodbye, Treebeard.
Om, farewell. Farewell. Boom, boom, rum, boom, boora, boom, boom, da da, boom, boom, da da, boom.
I wish we could have a seeing stone like the one that Saruman threw at us. Then we could see all our friends and speak to them from far away.
Only one now remains that you could use, for you would not wish to see what the stone of Minas Tirith would show you.
No.
But the Palantir of Orthanc the king will keep to see what is passing in his realm and what his servants are doing. For do not forget, Peregrine Took, that you are a knight of Gondor, and I do not release you from your service. You are on leave now, but I may recall you.
Yes, Aragorn.
But now our paths too must part. Farewell, Gandalf.
Farewell.
Elrond, half-elven, fare thee well.
Farewell, Elfstone.
Goodbye, Merry Adok, brave squire of Theoden.
Goodbye, Aragorn.
Goodbye, Sam. I'm glad I didn't turn out to be the play-acting spy you took me for at Bree.
Oh, sir...
No, it's all right, Sam. You're right to doubt the sinister ranger with his strange tale. You are well called Samwise.
Oh, Mr. Strider, sir.
And lastly, farewell, Frodo, ring-bearer. Much has chanced since you put your foot, or should I say your finger, in it at the prancing pony.
I am pleased those words came true about you. Renewed shall be blade that was broken, the crownless again shall be king.
You helped them come true, Frodo. And remember, dear friends of the Shire, that my realm lies also in the north, and I shall come there one day. Farewell.
And with that, they parted. And it was then the time of sunset. And when after a while they turned and looked back, they saw the King of the West sitting upon his horse, and the falling sun shone upon him. And the white mantle of Aragorn was turned to a flame. Then Aragorn took the green elf stone and held it up, and there came a green fire from his hand. So the dwindling company went on, until at last, one evening, they came over the high moors to the brink of the deep valley of Rivendell, and saw far below the lamps shining in Elrond's house. And they went down and crossed the bridge and came to the doors, and all the house was filled with light and song for joy at Elrond's homecoming.
Well, Mr. Frodo, we've been far and seen a deal, and yet I don't think we've found a better place than this.
There's something of everything here. The Shire, and the Golden Wood, and Gondor, and King's Houses, and inns, and meadows, and mountains, all mixed.
Yes, Sam. Yes, there is something of everything. Except the sea.
First of all, before they had eaten or washed or even shed their cloaks, the hobbits went in search of Bilbo. They found him all alone in his little room.
Ah, hello. You've come back. And tomorrow's my birthday.
Yes, Bilbo, I know. So I wanted to be back in time.
Ah, clever of you. You know, I shall be 129.
Yes.
One more year, if I'm spared. I shall equal the old two.
Yes.
I should like to visit him.
You will.
We shall see.
Bilbo, why didn't you come to Aragorn and Arwen's wedding?
Oh, I was invited, of course, and I waited for it long enough. But somehow, when it came to it, I found I had so much to do here, and packing is such a bother. But now then, you've all been having a lot of adventures, by all accounts.
We have. We went through the dwarf mines of Moria, yes, and we met the Ents of Fangorn, and they were battles with terrible orcs, and Merry here was fearfully brave and was made an esquire to King Théoden of Rohan.
Oh, how splendid.
And young Pippin is now a knight of Gondor.
How wonderful.
And I saw the elves of Lothlórien, Mr. Bilbo, just like you used to tell me tales about.
Did you now, sir? Well.
Yes, and Sam rescued Frodo from orcs and killed a huge spider. And then they both went all alone into Mordor with the ring.
Well. Fancy my old ring causing such a disturbance.
Well, it's gone now, Bilbo.
Yes. Well, I don't suppose I would have had the strength or luck to deal with it. The trouble was, it grew, but I didn't. Don't adventures ever have an end, I wondered, when you went away. It seems they do. But now then, I shall have to make a note or two of these things that you've been doing.
When nearly a fortnight had passed, Frodo looked out of his window and saw that there had been a frost in the night, and the cobwebs were like white nets. Then, suddenly, he knew that he must go.
Well, Frodo, you feel then that it is time for you to depart from us?
Yes, Elrond. I want to see my home again.
As so you should. Rivendell is the last homely house east of the sea. But I suspect not now so homely as it was when the desperate matter of the ring was put in hand.
And what will happen now to the three rings of the elf lords?
It is as I said at our council, now so long ago. The three will fail, and many fair things will fade and be forgotten.
You bear one of the three, and the Lady Galadriel bears another, but where is the third?
Ask not now, Frodo, for it will be revealed to you ere long. But come, you must gather your friends and say farewell to Bilbo.
Yes.
Little master. Bilbo.
Yes, sir.
A time for parting is upon us, little master.
Goodbye, Bilbo. I must go back to the Shire.
Well, goodbye, my boy. If you must go, you must. I'm sorry. I shall miss you. It's nice just to know that you're about the place. Oh, you better take these books of mine with you.
Oh. Translations from the Elvish by B.B.
I hope you'll be able to read them. My handwriting's rather spidery, I'm afraid.
Thank you, Bilbo.
Here's a little bag of gold for you, Sam.
Oh, but Mr. Bilbo, sir...
No. You take it, Sam. Take it. It may come in useful if you think of getting married.
Mr. Bilbo.
And as for you young fellows, Merry and Pippin, I've not much to give you except good advice. Don't let your heads get too big for your hats. Oh, and one other thing. I want you to have these.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, what beautiful pipes.
Yes, they're pretty, aren't they? They're bound with silver, and the mouthpieces are pearl. Think of me when you smoke them.
I shall.
The elves made them for me, but I don't smoke. No. Now then. Now, where were we? Yeah, yes, of course, giving presents. Yes. Which reminds me, what's become of my ring, Frodo, that you took away?
I've lost it, Bilbo dear. I got rid of it, you
yes,
know.
Yes, what a pity. I would like to have seen it again. Oh, dear. Oh, silly of me. That's what you went for, wasn't it? To get rid of it?
Yes, Bilbo.
The thing is, you see, it's all rather confusing. Still, I think when all's said and done, perhaps it's more comfortable to sit here and listen to all you young fellows' adventures than having to be part of them.
I don't think Mr. Bilbo's done much writing while we've been away. I shouldn't think he'll ever write our story now.
I heard that, Sam Gamgee. You see, the trouble is, I'm getting so sleepy. And when I have time to write, I only really like writing poetry. I wonder, Frodo, my dear fellow,
yes,
if you would collect all my notes and papers, and my diary too, and take them with you, if you will.
Yes, of course.
You see, I haven't much time for the selection and arrangement and all that, so get Sam to help you.
Oh.
And when you've knocked things into shape, come back, and I'll run over it. And I won't be too critical.
Yes, Bilbo, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'll come back soon. It won't be dangerous anymore. Not now there's a real king.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear fellow. That really is a very great relief.
Frodo?
Yes, Elrond?
I think, Frodo, that maybe you will not need to come back. Unless you come back very soon.
What?
About this time of the year, when the leaves are gold before they fall, look for Bilbo in the woods of the Shire. I shall be with him.
The next day, Gandalf and the hobbits took their leave of Elrond and his household and turned their faces once more towards the Shire.
How far are you going with us, Gandalf?
At least as far as Bree. I want to see old Barley Man Butterbur.
This is the ford where we had all that trouble with those riders, isn't it, Gandalf?
Yes, Sam, and it was almost a year ago.
Are you all right, Frodo?
What's the matter, Mr. Frodo?
Are you in pain, Frodo?
Well, yes, I am. It's my shoulder. The wound aches.
Ah.
And the memory of darkness is heavy upon me.
Alas. There are some wounds that cannot be wholly cured.
I fear it may be so with mine. Oh, there is no real going back. Though I may come to the Shire, it will not seem the same. For I shall not be the same. I am wounded with knife, sting, and tooth, and a long burden. Where shall I find rest?
So it was that near the end of a wild and wet evening in the last days of October, with the rain blowing in their faces from the low clouds that hurried through the darkening sky, the five travellers came to the Prancing Pony at Bree.
Oh, ring the bell, Sam.
Oh, right on, Mr. Frodo.
Who is it?
Snob. It's us, Snob. We've come back.
Well, bless my soul. Mr. Butterbur, Master, they come back.
Oh, have they? Well, I'll learn them. Now, see here, you...
Oh, well, I never.
Oh, you woody-pated lily, can't you give old friends their names?
Hello, Mr. Butterfur.
Well, well, well. And where have you come from? Oh. I never expected to see any of you folk again, and that's a fact. Going off into the wild with that Strider and all those black riders about. And I'm right glad to see you. None more than Gandalf. Ah, well, come in, come in. They're the same rooms as before. They're free. Well, when I say free, I mean they're empty, you know. Indeed, most rooms are empty these days. Well, come in, come in. Make yourself at home. Excuse me, Mr. Underhill, but... there I go. I mean, Mr. Baggins and all. I won't make so bold as to suggest you should come to the common room tonight. You'll be tired, but if you could spare me half an hour before you go to your beds, I'd dearly like to have some talk with you. You know, quiet-like, by yourself.
That's just what we should like to. Come, sit. Tell us how things are in Bree.
Ah, thank you. Well, now, things in Bree are far from well, Gandalf.
Uh-huh.
Business is downright bad. No one comes nigh Bree now from outside. And the inside folk, I mean, they stay at home mostly and keep their doors barred.
Well, why, Mr. Butterbur?
Well, there was trouble right here in Bree. That's what happened, Mr. Brandybuck. We had a real set to, and there were some folk killed. Killed dead, if you'll believe me.
And we thought we'd left all the trouble behind us.
Well, that you haven't, Master. More's the pity. You see, we're not used to such trouble, and the rangers have all gone away, folk tell me.
No.
Yeah, I don't think we rightly understood till now what they did for us. Now, there's dark shapes in the woods. Oh, dreadful things that make the blood run cold to think of. It's all been very disturbing.
I expect it has. Nearly all lands have been disturbed these days. Very disturbed. But cheer up, Barley Man. The rangers have returned.
No.
What? And there is a king again. He'll soon be turning his mind this way.
Well, that sounds more hopeful, I'll allow, so long as he lets Bree alone.
He will. He knows it and loves it.
Oh, does he now? Though I'm sure I don't know why he should, sitting in his big chair up in his great castle hundreds of miles away. And drinking out of a golden cup, we shouldn't wonder. We watch the pony to him, or mugs of beer. Not that what might be as good, mine.
That's just what he says about it.
What? He says?
Well, of course he does. It's Strider, the chief of the Rangers.
What? Strider?
Yeah.
What, him with... What, with a crown and all and a golden cup?
Yeah.
Well, well, what are we coming to?
Better times for Bree, at any rate.
Well, I hope so, I'm sure. Well, this has been the nicest chat I've had in a month of Mondays. But I've no doubt you'll be glad of your beds now, eh? Strider a king. Well, well, King Strider.
Hey, Nob! Nob, you slow coach! Nob!
Oh, no, no. What does that remind me of? No.
Not another letter you've forgotten, eh, Mr. Butterbur?
No, Mr. Brandybuck. Don't go reminding me of that. You've broken my thought now. What was I talking about? It was Nob. And there was a slow coach. That's it. I something that belongs to you. That pony of Bill Furney's.
Oh.
Well, it's here.
Oh.
What? My Bill?
Yeah. It come back all of itself, it did. But where it had been to, oh, dear, well, you know better than me. It was as shaggy as an old dog and as lean as a clothes rail, but it was alive, and Nob's been looking after it.
Oh, well, I was born lucky, whatever my gaffer may say. Well, there's another wish come true. Well, where is he? Well, there's no bed for me until I've seen him.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Butterbur. I'm glad to have stayed at the Prancing Pony in what I hope are happier times.
Well, goodbye, and good luck on your road, and good luck for your homecoming. Oh, by the way, you'll find that all's not well in the Shire neither. If what we hear is true. Funny goings on, they say. Oh, I should have warned you before, but I forgot.
Barley Man.
Well, you see, the trouble is one thing drives out another, as it were, and I was full of my own troubles, but if I may make so bold, you've come back changed from your travels. And you look now like folk as can deal with troubles out of hand. I don't doubt you'll soon set all to rights. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you, Mr. Butterfur.
And the oftener you come back, the better I'll be pleased.
Farewell for now, Barley Man.
Goodbye, Masters.
Goodbye, Mr. Butterbur.
Goodbye, Nob.
Oh, goodbye, sirs.
Oh, Nob, thank you for looking after Bill for me.
Oh, that's all right, Sam. Goodbye.
No!
No!
Goodbye.
I wonder what old Barleyman was hinting at.
I can guess some of it. What I saw in the Lady Galadriel's mirror. Trees cut down and all. And my old gaffer turned out at Bagshot Row. I ought to have hurried back quicker.
Never mind. We've got Gandalf with us, so things will soon be cleared up.
I am with you at present, but soon I shall not be.
What? Gandalf?
I am not coming to the Shire. You must settle its affairs yourselves. That's what you've been trained for.
I don't know what you mean, Gandalf.
Do you not yet understand, Peregrine Took?
No.
My time is over. It's no longer my task to set things to rights, nor to help folks to do so. And as for you, my dear friends, you will need no help. You're grown up now, grown very high. Among the great you are. And I no longer have any fear at all for any of you.
They set off following the east road, and in a little while they came to a point where Gandalf reined Shadowfax to a halt.
Well, you may find more trouble ahead of you than you think. But you'll manage all right. Goodbye, dear friends. But not for the last time. Not yet. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
On Shadowfax.
Goodbye, Gandalf.
Well, here we are. Just the four of us that started out together. We've left all the rest behind, one after another. Seems almost like a dream that has slowly faded.
Not to me. To me, it feels more like falling asleep again.
Their return to Hobbiton was one of the saddest hours in their lives. As they drew near, they saw a new mill, a great ugly brick building straddling the stream, which had fouled with a steaming and stinking overflow. But as they crossed the bridge and looked up the hill, they were even more horrified.
It's worse even than what I saw in Galadriel's mirror.
The chestnuts have gone.
Oh. And look at Bagshot Row. It's a gravel quarry.
Oh, no. The party tree, where Mr. Bilbo made his farewell speech. Look, they've cut it down.
Don't you like it, Sam? No, but then he always was soft.
Sandy man.
Aye, that's right, lad. Dead sandy man. Do you like my new mill?
No, I do not. See here, Sandy Man. I've a score to pay in this village, and don't you make it any larger with your jeering, or you'll foot a bill too long for your purse.
Things have changed here. Sharky's the boss at Bagend, and he runs the Shire.
Huh?
He'll soon deal with the likes of you.
Well, I think it's about time that someone dealt with this Sharky.
Oh, and how are you going to do that? Four of you against Sharky? He's got the means to deal with you, as you'll see soon enough.
Oh, Mary, what's happening?
We'll find out. Hobbits of the Shire! The Horn of Rohan calls you! Come out, Hobbits of the Shire! Frodo Baggins has returned!
Oh, you wait until the boss hears about this!
Well, run and tell him if you dare, Sandy Man.
They're back! Mr. Baggins and his friends are back!
Aye, and in the nick of time, too.
Hello again, my dear Hobbit.
Aye, but it's good to see you all again.
And you, Mr. Cotton.
And young Sam's with you, I see. There you are, Rose. I said he'd come back.
Oh, hello, Sam.
Hello, Rose. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you, Sam. And you?
Been mixing in strange company by the looks of him, Rose.
Oh, Dad! Hello, Dad!
What's become of your waistcoat, lad? I don't know with wearing ironmongery, whether it wears well or no.
Hello, Mr. Gamgee. Glad to see you.
Aye, and glad indeed I am to see you safe back. But you didn't ought to have so bag end, as I always said. That's what started all this mischief. Digging up Bagshot Row, throwing me out of me house and home, and ruining my taters.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gamgee, but now I've come back, I'll do my best to make amends.
Ah, can't say fairer than that. And I hope my Sam's behaving himself, give him satisfaction.
Perfect satisfaction, indeed. If you will believe it, he's now one of the most famous people in all the land.
Why, Sam!
But what has been going on here?
Oh, much, Mr. Took. That there Lotho Sackville Baggins made himself chief and started doing whatever he liked.
Let all those ruffians into the shire, he did.
Aye, and that's when things really went from bad to worse.
But since Sharky's come, it's been plain ruination.
Who is this Sharky?
Biggest ruffian of the lot.
Never seen him, we ain't.
Up at Bag End, he is. He's the chief now.
Hey, look out. Look out. Here come his men now.
Now, keep together, all of you. We can withstand them.
Now, no killing. There must be no killing.
Why are you not doing?
This is not your country, and you're not wanted.
Ha! Take him, lad.
Don't move, any one of you.
Who says?
We say so. Your day is over. The Dark Tower has fallen, there is a king in Gondor, and this is Mr. Frodo Baggins, the king's friend.
That's for your king. Get him!
Lay one finger on anyone and you will be shot!
Hit him, lads! Let him have it!
Meriander to the Shire!
It was not a long fight, but when it was over, many ruffians and some hobbits lay dead. The four companions continued to Bag End in search of Sharky.
There's no sign of any boss here. All we've found is rats and mice. Perhaps we should search those sheds outside. I'm sure we could get some of those hobbits to help us.
Well, this is worse than Mordor. It's much worse in a way. Well, it comes home to you because it is home, and you remember it before it was all ruined.
Yes. This is Mordor.
Oh, no. Not Mordor.
Saruman! Sharky!
So you have heard my other name, have you? All my people used to call me that in Isengard, I believe. A sign of affection, possibly. I have looked forward to meeting you, Mr. Baggins, but evidently you did not expect to see me here.
No, I did not. But I might have guessed you were yet capable of a little mischief in a mean way.
Quite capable, and more than a little. I've done much that you will find it hard to mend or undo in your lives, and it will be pleasant to think of that.
Well, if that's what you find pleasure in, I pity you. But it will be a pleasure of memory only, I fear. Go at once and never return.
I will if you will ask those little rats crowding the doorway to this hole to let me pass.
Will you ask them, Saruman?
Kill him! Kill him! Do not think that when I lost all my goods, I lost all my power. Whoever strikes me shall be accursed. And if my blood stains the Shire, it shall wither and never again be healed.
Do not believe him, Hobbit. He has lost all power save his voice. And that can still daunt you and deceive you if you let it. But I will not have him slain. It is useless to meet revenge with revenge. It will heal nothing. Go, Saruman, by the speediest way possible.
Well, let's make sure he goes, Mr. Frodo.
Yes, Sam.
Worm! Worm!
Coming, Master.
To the road again, Worm! These fine fellows and lordlings are turning us adrift again. Come along. Here's one last little remembrance for you, Mr. Baggins.
So you try and stab my master, would you, Saruman? Will you try your last trick?
No, Sam. No. Do not kill him, even now. For he has not hurt me, you see. His blade failed against my dwarf mail. And in any case, I do not wish him to be slain in this evil mood. He was great once, of a noble kind that we should not dare to raise our hands against.
You are wise and cruel, halfling. You have robbed my revenge of sweetness, and now I must go hence in bitterness, in debt to your mercy. I hate it and you. But do not expect me to wish you health and long life. You will have neither. That is not my doing, I merely foretell. Come, Worm, come.
Worm Tongue, you do not need to follow him. You can have rest and food here a while until you are stronger and can go on your way.
Come on, Worm.
Let him go, Wormtongue. I know of no evil that you have done to me.
No evil? Oh, no. Didn't you wonder, Mr. Baggins, what had become of your cousin Lotho? You know, don't you, Worm? Will you tell them?
No. No.
Then I will. Worm killed Lotho, poor little fellow. Nice little Lotho. Didn't you, Worm? Stabbed him in his sleep, I believe. Buried him, I hope. The Worm has been very hungry lately. Worm is not really nice. You had better leave him to me.
You told me to! You told me to do it!
You do what Sharky says always, don't you, Worm? Well, now he says, follow.
Endlessly! Go of me, Worm! The Worm has turned, Saruman! Die! Die!
Look at Saruman's body. There's a grey mist gathering about it. Something ghastly is happening to him. Look at his face. It's shriveled to rags of skin upon a hideous skull.
No more beatings now, Saruman. Poor old Grievous, free of him at last.
Don't let him get away.
No more killing.
Oh, and that's an end to that. And it's a nasty end for both of them, and I wish I needn't have seen it. But it's good riddance.
And the very last end of the war, I hope.
Yes, I hope so too. The very last stroke. Oh, but to think that it should fall here at the very door of Bag End. Among all my hopes and fears, I never expected that.
Well, I shan't call it the end. So we've cleared up the mess. And that'll take a lot of time and work. Come on.
It took less time than Sam had feared. One of the first things done in Hobbiton was the clearing of the hill and Bag End and the restoration of Bagshot Row. The gaffer was reinstalled in number 3.
Well, it's an ill wind as blows nobody no good, as I always say. And all's well as ends better.
Well, we should give the place a new name. What about Battle Gardens?
Oh, elves and dragons, Mr. Merry. It don't need to be called nothing fancy. Simply call it New Row.
Very sensible and hobbit-like, Mr. Gamgee.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it'll only ever have one name.
Oh, what's that, Pippin?
Sharky's End.
Oh. Well, now things really are beginning to get back to normal.
Except for the trees, Mr. Frodo. They're a grievous loss.
Yeah, Gaffer's right. I mean, to think that it'll only be my great-grandchildren who'll see the Shire as it ought... Why, you ninny-hammer, Sam Gamgee.
What is it, Sam?
The box that Lady Galadriel gave me. Why didn't I think of it before? And me carrying it all the way from Lothlorien to here.
I wondered when you'd remember it, Sam.
Well, let's have a look at it.
Hang on. Here we are.
Well, open it up, Sam.
What's inside, Sam?
Oh, it's dust. Soft, fine, grey dust. And a seed. It's like a small nut with a silver shell, see? But what am I going to do with it?
Use all the wits and knowledge you have of your own, Sam. And then use the gift to help your work and better it. And use it sparingly. There is not much here, and I expect every grain has a value.
So Sam planted saplings in all the places where specially beautiful or beloved trees had been destroyed. And he put a grain of the precious dust in the soil at the root of each. And at the end, he found that he still had a little of the dust left. So he went to the 3-farthing stone, which is as near the centre of the Shire as no matter, and cast it in the air with a blessing. The little silver nut he planted in the party field, where the tree had once stood under which old Bilbo Baggins had made his farewell speech to the hobbits of the Shire. And there, in spring, a beautiful young sapling leapt up. It had silver bark and long leaves. It was a mallorn tree, like those which grew in the golden wood east of the mountains.
Well, Sam, it must be spring in Lothlorien. The mallorn is in bloom.
Oh, yes, Mr. Frodo. Isn't it beautiful? And more so because it reminds me of the Lady Galadriel and the fair folk of Lorien.
It will be the wonder of the neighborhood, Sam. You mark my words. People will come from far and wide to see it. The only mallorn west of the mountains and east of the sea. Sam?
Sir?
Sam, I've been thinking, why don't you move into Bag End with me? No, I mean, now it's all straightened out. It's far too big a place for a hobbit on his own. And a lonely place, too, now Merry and Pippin have moved back to Buckland.
Well, it's very kind of you, Mr. Frodo. I don't know as I ought to.
Oh, there's no need to come yet if you don't want to, but well, you can't go on lodging with the Cottons forever. And if you came here, you wouldn't need to worry about the gaffer because he'd be close at hand.
Well, it's not that, Mr. Frodo.
Well, what is it, Sam?
It's Rosie, Mr. Frodo.
Ah.
Well, it seems she didn't like my going abroad at all. But as I hadn't spoken, she couldn't say so. And I didn't speak because I had a job to do first. But now I have spoken, and she says, well, you've wasted a year, so why wait longer? And wasted, I said. But I wouldn't call it that. Still, I can see what she means. And, oh, Mr. Frodo, I feel torn in two.
But, my dear Sam, how easy.
Huh?
Get married as soon as you can and move in and bring Rosie with you.
Oh.
There's room enough in Bag End for as big a family as you could wish for.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mr. Frodo. I'd like it very much.
Good. That's settled, then.
Yeah.
And so it was settled. Sam Gamgee married Rose the following spring, and they came to live in Bag End. And if Sam thought himself lucky, Frodo knew that he was more lucky, for there was not a hobbit in the Shire that was looked after with such care as Frodo Baggins. But despite all Rosie's care, Sam grew concerned at the way in which Frodo seemed still to be bothered by a shadow of old troubles.
Oh, the wound aches. The memory of darkness is heavy upon me.
Alas, there are some wounds that cannot be wholly cured.
If your hurt grieve you still, and the memory of your burden is heavy, then you may pass into the west until all your wounds and weariness are healed.
Where shall I find rest? Where shall I find rest? Where shall I find rest?
The following March, Frodo was ill again, but with a great effort, he concealed it from Sam, who had other things on his mind.
Congratulations, Sam.
Thank you, Mr. Frodo. They've put me in a bit of a fix, I'm afraid.
Well, why is that?
Well, Rosamie had settled to call him Frodo.
Oh.
But it's not him, it's her. So we don't know what to do.
Well, what's wrong with the old customs?
Huh?
Choose a flower name like Rose.
Oh, it'd have to be a beautiful flower. Because, you see, I think she's very beautiful. And is going to be beautifuler still.
Well, Sam, what about Eleanor, the sun star? You remember the little golden flower in the grass of Lothlorien?
Yes. Oh, you're right again, Mr. Frodo. That's what I wanted.
Little Eleanor was nearly 6 months old, and it was autumn, when Frodo called Sam and Rose into his study one day.
Sam?
Yes, Mr. Frodo?
Well, rather I should say Rose.
Yes, Mr. Frodo?
Rose, I wondered if you could possibly spare Sam so that we might go off together.
Well, Mr. Frodo...
Of course, it won't be a long journey. I know Sam can't be away for a long time now.
Well, not very easily, Mr. Frodo.
No, of course not. But never mind. You can see me on my way, and I won't keep Sam away for more than, a fortnight, Rose.
That's all right, Mr. Frodo. Sam's looked after you all this time. Of course he'll go with you.
Oh, thank you, Rose. Well, I wish I could go all the way to Rivendell with you, Mr. Frodo, but the only place I really want to be in is here. I'm that torn in two.
Oh, poor Sam. It will feel like that, I'm afraid, but you will be healed. You were meant to be solid and whole. And you will be.
Oh, that's Eleanor wanting a supper. If you'll excuse me, Mr. Frodo.
Of course, Rose. Oh, and thank you. Now, Sam. These are the keys to Bag End, and these are all my papers and writings.
What's that big red book, Mr. Frodo?
Well, here. See for yourself.
The Downfall of the Lord of the Rings... Mm-hmm. And the Return of the King, as seen by the little people, being the memoirs of Bilbo and Frodo of the Shire, supplemented by the accounts of their friends and the learning of the wise. Why, you nearly finished it, Mr. Frodo. Well, you kept at it, I must say.
I've not quite finished, Sam. Chapter 80 is still to be completed, and there will still be some blank leaves left. The last pages are for you.
On September the 21st, they set out together. It was a fair golden morning, and Sam did not ask where he was going. He thought he could guess.
Oh, bless me! But if that isn't the very tree we hid behind when the Black Rider first showed up, Mr. Frodo.
Yes.
Oh, you shan't forget this road, Nari.
Bilbo often used to say there was only one road. Still round the corner, there may wait a new road or a secret gate. And though I oft have passed them by, a day will come at last when I shall take the hidden paths that run west of the moon, east of the sun.
Oh, Mr. Frodo. It's the Lady Galadriel.
We still remember, we who dwell in this fair land beneath the trees,
the starlight on the western seas.
When the leaves are gold before they fall, look for Bilbo in the woods of the Shire. I shall be with him.
Oh, my, Mr. Frodo.
There rode Elrond and Galadriel. Elrond wore a mantle of grey and had a star upon his forehead, and a silver harp was in his hand, and upon his finger was a ring of gold with a great blue stone. Vilya, the mightiest of the three elven rings. Galadriel sat on a white palfrey and was robed all in shimmering white like clouds about the moon. And on her finger was Nenya, the ring wrought of mithril that bore a single white stone flickering like a frosty star. Riding slowly behind, on a small grey pony and seeming to nod in his sleep, was Bilbo.
Well met, ring-bearer. Frodo, son of Drogo. Greetings, Samwise Gamgee.
Well, Master Samwise, I hear and see that you have used my gift well. The Shire shall now be more than ever blessed and beloved.
We greet you, fair people, and our own dear Bilbo.
Hello, Frodo. Well, I passed the old Took's age today, so that's settled.
Yes.
Now I think I'm quite ready to go on another journey. You coming?
Yes, I am coming, Bilbo. The ring-bearers should go together.
Where are you going, Master?
Beyond the Sundering Seas, Sam.
Well, I can't come.
No, Sam. Not yet, anyway. Not further than the Grey Havens. Though you, too, were a ring-bearer.
if only for a little while. Your time may come. Don't be too sad, Sam. You cannot always be torn in two. You will have to be one and whole for many years. Oh, you have so much to enjoy and to be and to do. Come now, ride with me.
As they rode, it seemed to Frodo that he wandered long in a dream of music that turned into running water, and then suddenly into a voice. It seemed to be the voice of Bilbo, chanting verses. His last song.
Day is ended, dim my eyes, but journey long before me lies. Farewell, friends. I hear the call, the ships beside the stony wall. Foam is white and waves are grey. Beyond, the sunset leads my way. Foam is salt, the wind is free. I hear the rising of the sea.
You are come to the grey havens. All is now ready. Your ship awaits. The third age of Middle-earth is over. The days of the rings are past.
You too wear a ring, Gandalf.
It is the third ring, Frodo. Narya of the Red Stone. Narya the Great, the Ring of Fire. I too am a ring bearer. Though I wear it openly only now.
Wait for us!
Oh, Mr. Merry, Mr. Pippin!
What are you fellows doing here?
You tried to give us the slip once before and failed, Frodo Baggins.
And this time you have nearly succeeded, but you have failed again. It was not Sam, though, that gave you away this time, but Gandalf himself.
Yes, for it will be better for Sam to ride back three together than one alone. Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the Sundering Sea, comes the end of our fellowship in Middle-earth.
Hi, Sam, lad. Take care of Bag End for us, won't you?
I will, Mr. Bilbo.
Goodbye, Mary and Pippin. Goodbye. You young lads really must stop growing, you know.
Farewell, good masters Meriadoc and Peregrine. And you, Samwise, faithful friend of the Ring-Bearer, farewell to you.
Namarie.
Goodbye, Mary.
Take care, cousin.
Pippin?
Goodbye, Frodo.
Sam?
Oh, Mr. Frodo, I thought you were going to enjoy the Shire for years and years after all you've done.
So I thought too once. But I have been too deeply hurt, Sam. I tried to save the Shire, and it has been saved. But not for me. It must often be so, Sam. When things are in danger, someone has to give them up, lose them, so that others may keep them. But you are my heir. All that I had and might have had, I leave to you, Sam. Mm-hmm. You will be the most famous gardener in all history. Mm. And you will read things out of the Red Book and keep alive the memory of the age that is gone so that people will remember the great danger and so love their beloved land all the more. And that will keep you as busy and as happy as anyone can be. Mm. As long as your part of the story goes on.
Mr. Frodo, my dear.
Now, go in peace. I will not say, do not weep. for not all tears are an evil.
Then the ring-bearers went aboard the ship. The sails were drawn up, and the wind blew. And slowly the ship slipped away down the long grey firth. And the light of the glass of Galadriel that Frodo bore glimmered and was lost. And the ship went out into the high sea and passed on into the west.
Guided by the lonely star, beyond the utmost harbor, I'll find the havens fair and free, and the beaches of the starlit sea. Ship, my ship, I seek the west, and the fields and the mountains ever blessed. Farewell to Middle-earth at last, I see the stars.
Too sad, Sam. You have so much to enjoy and to be and to do.
Sam, my dear.
Well, I'm back.
In the final episode of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Brian Sibley, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, Aragorn by Robert Stevens, Bilbo by John LeMessurier, and Sam by William Nye. Merry, Richard O'Callaghan, Pippin, John McAndrew, Legolas, David Collins, Gimli, Douglas Livingstone, Treebeard, Stephen Thorne, Elrond, Hugh Dixon, Galadriel, Marion Diamond, Arwen, Sonia Fraser, Butterbur, James Grout, Nob, Hayden Wood, Saruman, Peter Howell, Grima Wormtongue, Paul Brook, Sandyman, Gordon Reed, Gaffer Gamgee, John Church, Farmer Cotton, Alan Dudley, Rose, Catherine Herbert, and Eleanor, Harry Holm. Ruffians, John Bott and John Livesey. The narrator was Gerard Murphy. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Oliver, and the singers were David James and Matthew Vine. Radiophonic sound by Elizabeth Parker. Technical presentation by Peter Novis and David Greenwood, assisted by Richard Beedsmore, Tim Sturgeon, Diana Barkham, and Paul Pearson. The series was adapted by Brian Sibley and Michael Bakewell, directed by Jane Morgan and Penny Lester, and produced by Jane Morgan.